Let's go to the Lord before we begin. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your continual keeping hand. Lord, we ask you'd make this word go forth in your power. Make us hear you, hear your voice. Make us follow you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these blessings, for all the rich mercy and grace we have in Christ. Forgive us, Lord, our sin. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. John 10. Let's begin here in verse 22. I just want to preach from a few verses. We'll come back to some of this other another time, Lord willing. But let me just read for context. Verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And we know our Lord spoke the gospel more plainly than anybody ever preached it. This was not his fault that they didn't understand. They understood. They were really just wanting him to tell them something different. They understood what he was saying. Our Lord just repeats the same message again. Listen to this. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Our subject is the security of the sheep. The security of the sheep. There are people in this world who Christ refers to here as his sheep. As his sheep. He says here that he makes his sheep hear his voice. He says he knows them. And by his knowing us, he makes us know him. He makes us follow him, follow his voice. And he gives his people eternal life. Now, some teach that once a believer is brought to faith in Christ, they can lose their salvation. They can fall away. But our Lord declares just the opposite here. He declares here that his people shall never perish. He declares no man shall ever pluck them out of his hand nor out of his Father's hand. That's the security of the sheep. This is what our Lord declared concerning his sheep. Those he calls to faith, he says he keeps. He keeps. Christ has a people who are his sheep. He says there in verse 27, my sheep. That's why Christ's people are secure. They're his sheep. That's why they're secure. They're his. How do sinners become Christ's sheep? Look in verse 29. He said, my Father, which gave them me. My Father gave them to me. That's how we become his sheep. The Father gave them to Christ. Back in John 6 and verse 37, he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Look over at John 17. This is the Lord's high priestly prayer. And he says it multiple times here. He prays in verse 1, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He says down in verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. In verse 11, he says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we're one. Before the foundation of the world, God the Father chose a great multitude. We're not talking about just a little small number. We're talking about a great multitude that he chose that no man can number. And he gave them to his son as a gift to his son. Gave them to his son with the covenant promise that they would be his inheritance. When Christ had laid down his life for them and redeemed them and brought them to glory, this people would be his inheritance. They're his portion. They're his portion. So that's the Father's gift to the Son. And not only this, Christ's sheep are his purchased people. They're his purchased possession. He's purchased his people with his own blood. He said in back there in John 10 and verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. This is why he calls them my sheep. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He said in verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Why did he lay down his life for the sheep? Go over to Isaiah 53. Here's why he laid down his life for the sheep. Because we sinned in Adam. We came forth ruined sinners, condemned, cursed by the law, corrupt in our sin nature. And look here, this was a must right here. Look here, Isaiah 53:6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He's talking about the sheep. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of all his people. Lord willing, we're going to observe his table here this morning. What's the meaning of this? Why are we doing this? We're coming here to take this broken bread to remember how he voluntarily gave his body to be broken under the wrath of God in the place of his people. We're coming here to take this cup of wine to remember his precious blood that he shed, whereby he fulfilled the whole covenant of redemption for his people. This is what our Lord Jesus did. The Lord Jesus Christ knew who he laid down his life for. And he laid down his life for the sheep, in the place of the sheep, as the substitute for the sheep, as the one who answered to the justice of God for the sheep. That's what he did. He laid down his life for his people. That's what we're remembering at his table. And when he did that, he accomplished, completely, thoroughly accomplished the redemption of his people. He purchased his people. He purchased his people. He redeemed us from the curse and condemnation of the law. He bought us and we're his. He said, they're my sheep. They're my sheep. His by purchase. Here's what we're remembering back there in Isaiah 53:5. It says, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised. He was for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Because he bore that in place of his people are healed. God says he will not remember the sins of his people. They can't be charged because he put away every sin of his people completely, totally, thoroughly. Thoroughly. So Christ's people are secure because we're his sheep. We're his. We're his sheep. By the Father's gift to his Son, the Father gave his elect to Christ. And we're his sheep because Christ laid down his life, paid the price of his blood, and bought his sheep. And we belong to him. Purchase. Purchase. Here's another thing back there in John 10. His sheep are secure because he makes us hear his voice and follow him. Look here in verse 27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is Christ's effectual, irresistible call. That's what we're talking about. Him making us hear his voice. Making us hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. When he first calls us to faith in him, it's by his voice. It's the voice of the shepherd. It's the voice of the shepherd. goes forth into preaching of this word, but he makes you hear him speaking, makes you alive, makes the word come alive in your heart and makes you hear it, makes you believe it, makes you really believe what he's saying. That we're dead in sin, that we need a Savior, we need a substitute, we need a shepherd. It makes you hear him. It makes you believe he is the Son of God, Son of God, who came down and redeemed his people. And you began to believe him. He said back up there in verse 3, to the shepherd the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Go over to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. Christ said this would be so when he had come and established righteousness for his people, and when he started sending forth his gospel into this world, he said his people would know his voice. They would know his voice. He's always saved through the gospel, but in this age right now we're living in, he's spoken, he has come, he's finished the work of redemption, and now he's speaking through the preaching of this word, and he said, I will make my people know it's my voice. Look here in Isaiah 52:6. He talked about how the people made, the religious folks were making his people howl. They were yoking them and binding them and whipping them. And that's what the Pharisees were doing. And that blind man that he gave sight to, that blind man that our Lord quickened and gave him a heart to believe him back in John chapter 9, he did for him what Christ is saying right here. Made him hear his voice, just like he's saying right here. And look here in Isaiah 52:6. He says, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. The him there is Christ. He said, you're going to know it's my voice. He's the one that brings this gospel of good tidings and makes us hear it, really hear it. But he does it through his watchmen. He does it through his preachers. He said, verse 8, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice with the voice together. I've said this to you before, but I believe the watchmen there are his preachers, and they lift up the voice with the voice together. It means they, all his watchmen, are in agreement, but when we lift up our voice, when Christ speaks through the gospel, he's the voice that's being lifted up with the voice of his preacher, so that we hear and we really hear him in the heart by faith. And he says, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. He's the one calling. He's the one drawing and calling out his sheep and bringing his sheep to himself. And Christ knows his sheep. This is how come he sends the gospel to each one. He knows his sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And it's his knowing us that makes us know him, savingly know him. He knows each of his people particularly in everlasting love. He's known us from the foundation of the world when the Father gave us to him. He knows his sheep. And not only that, he knows our every need at every moment. And he meets that need at all times. He knows what we need. He knows exactly what his sheep need. He knows his people. He knows his people. And from the time he calls his sheep and calls you to him, savingly calls you to believe on, from the time he calls us, the rest of our days, the way we're going to be secure and kept and preserved is he keeps making us hear his voice. He keeps making us hear his voice through his word, through his gospel, through the preaching of the word. He makes you hear his voice. He makes you hear it. And so we continue following him. He said in Isaiah 30, if you want to turn there, Isaiah 30, I want you to see this, Isaiah 30. In verse 20, he said, the Lord shall cause, verse 20. He said, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be affliction. But watch this. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. That's what he's going to do. He's going to make us follow him. He's going to make us, when we turn to the left or to the right, through the affliction, through adversity, he's not going to remove the voice. He's not going to remove us being able to hear his word. He's going to make us hear him. That still small voice speaking into the heart, he's going to make you hear him and say, this is the way. Here's Christ the way. Follow him. Follow him. And it's not merely that we're following the letter of his word. We're following his word, but it's not merely that we're following the letter of his word. We're following him. We're following him. We're looking to him in his word to follow him and really follow him. And this is what he's going to keep his people doing, following him, in living union with him, getting everything from him, being conformed to him. Believers are secure because we're Christ's possession. The Father gave his people to him. Christ redeemed his people. He purchased his people. We're his possession. And number two, we're secure because he makes his children hear his voice. And he keeps us hearing his voice and keeps us following him by us hearing his voice. And here's another thing. Go back to John 10. Christ's sheep are secure because he's our life. He's our life. Look at verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. The spiritual life of each sheep of his flock is given as a gift. Spiritual life's given as a gift. That tells us, brethren, we didn't have it before he gave it. We were spiritually dead. We didn't have life before he gave it. He gave it. He gave it. And given us eternal life, he's declaring it has to be a gift to us. Eternal life's the gift of God. He gave it. But notice the wording. It's not I gave. It's I give unto them eternal life. Christ is the life. He's the life. He is the life. He is the eternal life within every believer. And when he gives us eternal life, it's Christ entering in and making us a new man in him and him in us so that we're inseparably united to him so that the life we have is Christ. He is that life. And he hasn't just given it to us in the past. He's continually giving us life in the present. We are alive by him, sustained by him, and he is the life. He is the life. Because I live, ye shall live also. That's what he said. This is what John was saying. John sat here and heard this, and he'd written this gospel, and in his epistle, he wrote, he that hath the Son, he that hath the Son hath life. He is the life. So it's a continual giving. And then the very nature of this life shows that it can't be, once he's given you this life, you can't perish. Why? It's eternal. It's eternal. It's eternal life. He says, I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life never ends. It's impossible for Christ to give eternal life and one of his people lose it. Just won't happen. It's eternal. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Forever. So when he's quickened us and called us to him, and he has given us eternal life, he is that life. He sustains us because he's the life. We live because he lives. We shall live because he lives. These bodies are mortal right now. But when he raises them, they're going to be immortal. Well, he's given you life already in spirit, and it's eternal. And it shall not end. The moment we draw our last breath in this body, we'll be with him. It's eternal life. Eternal life. And we're secure because this is Christ's word. This is his promise to us, brethren. It's his word to us. He said in verse 28, "And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." That's a great comfort to a believer who knows we are weak sheep, helpless sheep, defenseless sheep. That's why the illustration of a sheep is so appropriate to us, because sheep are kept and provided for by the shepherd, by the shepherd. And we need the shepherd constantly, continually. You know, the Lord speaks in the Old Testament about numbering Israel with the rod, making them pass under the rod. That's the shepherd's staff. And the shepherd, he not only used the staff to pull the sheep back and to direct the sheep, he used the staff to number the sheep. He held it out and he numbered the sheep to make sure all the sheep in the flock were accounted for. And wasn't any of them missing. They were all there. And he through this word, through his gospel, through his powerful hand, he numbers his people. He keeps his people accounted for before him at all times. So he knows where his sheep are and he knows what his sheep need, and he's protecting his sheep. He's got a mighty, mighty big hand. And he said, they're not gonna pluck them out of my hand. Now there's a lot who would like to pluck us out of his hand. The devil would love to just get one sheep and make one of his sheep perish. If he could just cause one to perish, the whole work is in vain. But it can't be. Christ has said, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Wolves would love to devour us. We have enemies in our flesh. We have enemies in the lusts of our flesh. Trials come by the Lord's hand that trouble us. And we have our own temptations that are just sinful. But the Lord's going to keep his people. The Lord is going to keep you hearing his voice, and he's going to keep you following to him. And he speaks effectually. And as sheep, being weak and dependent upon the shepherd to keep us, we have this assurance. He's telling us whatever our state is, whatever our condition is, he's going to keep his people. Whatever sins and sorrows and opposition that we face, whatever it is, none's going to pluck his sheep out of his hand. None. This makes you want to hug up on the shepherd. This makes you want to flock together with the sheep under the shepherd, under his care. The will of Christ Jesus to the Father is that they be with him where he is. And so none shall be plucked out of the Father's hand. God the Father and God the Son are one God. It's two persons, but it's one God. And they're one in their will. They're one in the purpose. They're one in the work. And so they can't pluck us out of Christ's hand, and they can't pluck us out of God the Father's hand. They're one God. So they're one in their will. They're one in their power to save. They will not lose one. Now, this is the security, brethren. This is the security of the sheep. Just picture a flock of sheep out in a pasture. What's their security? What is the security of just some physical sheep out in a field from wolves and from every kind of the weather and from their own sickness and from their wool getting too thick? They need to be shorn. What are all these? What's going to keep them? How are they going to be kept and provided for and led to pasture and brought into the fold and kept safe? How's that happen? It's by the shepherd. It's by the shepherd. And that's what Christ is declaring here. He's the shepherd, and he's going to keep his sheep, and he's not going to lose one. Now, let me review it. Here's why. First of all, he said, they're my sheep. By the gift of the Father given to him, he said, they're my sheep.
by divine election, choosing us freely by his grace, giving us to Christ as a gift, his inheritance, promised to him due to his faithfulness before the Father. They're his gift. They're my sheep. Two, they're his sheep because he bought us. He purchased us with his precious blood. When we observe this table today, one reason I was looking at this was I thought this is a good thing to remember when we come to the Lord's table. He bought us with his blood. He's promising us we're going to be secure in his hand. That's something good to remember. We're observing this table. It says, till he come again. What's he coming back for? Till he come for the redemption of the purchased possession. He's already redeemed us from the curse and condemnation of the law and bought us to himself. He's going to come and take us out of this world to the new heavens and new earth. We're his. We're his. We're his. The gift of God the Father and the purchase of his blood. Number two, his voice is irresistible. He speaks and he keeps speaking and he knows what you need. He knows where you are and he's going to keep speaking. When you fall, he's going to speak and his voice is going to be your strength. When you lift it up, his voice is what's going to humble you. When you go to the right or to the left, his voice is what's going to say, here's the way, walk in it. His voice is going to keep us. And then number three, he said, I give them eternal life. And he's the life. He's the life. Spurgeon always gave this illustration that a man, as long as his head's above water, he can't drown. The body can be in the water, but as long as the head's above the water, he can't drown. Here we are in the water. We're in the earth. Our head is in glory. And we can't drown. He's the life. He's the life, and he's going to keep his life within us. And then we're secured by his covenant promise. His covenant promise. His promises here, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's his promise. Now, what was the result when these Pharisees heard this? What was the result? They said, tell us plainly. Tell us plainly. And he didn't tell them something different. He told them the same message he'd been declaring to them. We've been seeing this since the beginning of John, of the Gospel of John. He just told them the same message again. Again. And what was their response? It says, verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They want to kill him. They want to kill him because he declared this message of the security of his sheep. But they heard him when he said, you don't believe me because you're not my sheep. And they proved it. You know how they proved? They picked up stones to kill him. That's how they proved they didn't believe him. They proved they were not his sheep. What does his sheep do? When his sheep hear this message, they hear his voice. And what do? They draw nearer to the shepherd. In their heart, in their life, in every way, they draw nearer to the shepherd. They huddled closer together with his sheep under the watchful eye, the protection, that mighty hand of the shepherd. And they keep following the shepherd. We thank him. We sing praise to him. We give all the glory to him. And you're just so thankful that he's keeping you. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to keep his people. And if you hear his voice and follow him, you know what that means? If you hear his voice and you follow him, you follow him. You behold every other way is vain. You behold your sin is vain. You behold your best deeds are vain. You behold the only way to God is Christ. The only way for me to be kept and saved and brought to God my Father is my shepherd, Christ Jesus. You believe him, then you prove you are his sheep. You are his sheep. If he's all to you, he's the only salvation you have, only hope you have. Just to get through today. You believe him. You trust him to keep you right now. You prove by faith you're the sheep.
You're the sheep. You have eternal life. And he promises you shall never perish. That's good news, isn't it? The security of the sheep. Let's go to him in prayer. Our great God and our Father, we do thank you that your word never returns to you void. We're thankful that you're able to make your sheep hear your voice, and you won't let us turn away. You won't let us go away and be taken and destroyed. Father, we thank you that you keep us in your hand. Thankful that you keep turning us and causing us to follow you. Lord, keep faith in our heart. Keep faith in our heart. Help us, Lord, to be more zealous for you, to honor you, be more zealous to avoid every hindrance and every sin and every pitfall. Lord, cause us to hear your voice in the morning when we awake. Cause us to hear it throughout the day. Cause us to seek you in your word. Cause us, Lord, to be continually giving ourselves to hear your gospel. Keep your voice constantly in our heart. Keep us in your mighty hand, Lord. We delight to hear this message. We delight to hear this truth that you claim, this security you promise. And Lord, we depend on you. We're sheep in your pasture, sheep in your hand, and we depend on you. And Father, we ask you, would you be pleased, make this word go forth, make one of your lost sheep hear your voice for the first time. Make them hear effectually and come to you and believe on you. Lord, we pray for your mercy. We pray for your power for all our brethren, wherever they are, those that are here and those that are not with us. We love them, and we want to see them provided for. We want to see them here with us, and we want to see them under your gospel. Lord, we ask you to gather your sheep, strengthen them and make them healthy and make them be able to come and hear your word, continue in your word, trust in you, believe in you. Lord, we thank you so much for brethren. We thank you for this place you've given us, and thank you for the gospel. We ask you, Lord, to keep it going forth. Thank you for this new year, for the blessings we have of the year past. And trust, Lord, that you'll keep us for as long as you're willing, and till you please to return or bring us to you, and that you'll bless us by your word, by your promise, by your grace. Lord, we ask you, we need you to be our Savior. We're thankful that you promise you are. Lord, forgive us of our unbelief. Forgive us of our insincerity, our lukewarmness, our sin, our pride. Lord, behold us in Christ and hear us for Christ's sake, and forgive us for his sake. We ask it, Lord, in his name. Amen.